Yo, what's going on? You're listening to 99.5 The Mix, where we always keep it live from the 305.
Yogami.
Okay, and welcome back to 99.5 The Mix. This is the inaugural episode. Edition. What do we call it?
Yogami.
Yeah, the inaugural edition, the inaugural episode of Yogami, which is officially known as a radio show and a podcast about yoga and stuff.
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm Vicente, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Anna Margaret.
Hola.
And we hope to mount this show as a podcast, which will make it readily available to an audience for... hopefully a long time and a beneficial time after the radio broadcasts are a distant memory among a small but dedicated listenership. So this is part of the process of getting the new community-based radio station at Barry University going, and we're encouraging all sorts of community-based broadcasting. And so this is a show that we hope to... mount every 3 to 4 weeks, focusing on, just like the title says, yoga and stuff. Mm-hmm. Principally yoga in Miami, but also just yoga in the world, right?
Yeah, all the extras, because yoga is not just about being on our mat, as we come to know if we practice for a while, but also being in the world. And all the ways that we can connect with ourselves through, we'll talk about cooking and nurturing ourselves that way, about bringing the same mindfulness of yoga into business, our art, science, our family life, and other ways of, or other healing modalities.
Wow, that's excellent. I can't wait to hear that show.
Me either. It's in my mind right now, but it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, Miami's a great place to do this, right?
Oh, yeah, because we have everything here, and people are so open to trying new things and adventures. And, you know, we can give this 10,000-year-old science our own Miami flavor.
Yeah. And, you know, also I feel like Miami is like something like Antioch was in the ancient world, right? We're a cultural crossroads, so we were just talking about, I had no idea, we have a friend, and Anna Margaret says, well, you know, she was into Santeria. Hey, that's fantastic. You know, you never know who you're going to meet or what they're going to practice in Miami, and yoga is part of that wild mix in this fantastic city. And so we're eager to have a variety of episodes on any number of topics that intersect with yoga generally. So, by the way, I will mention that we are obviously on theme in terms of being in Miami, because the radio show, the podcast, the radio show is supposed to start at 6, and we started promptly at 6:15.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's on time for Miami.
That's Miami time, right? So we're going to keep following that tradition. And also for this first show, we're going to have a special contest, which is any caller that can predict how many different ways I'm going to technologically mess up the show. We'll get some prize or other. I'll figure out what it is. So we've got all this new equipment. The radio station has been totally rebuilt, and it's just a fantastic setup we have here, and we're excited to be able to use it in this way and to make it a community resource. So I thought one thing we should do is probably give a sense of who we are as co-hosts of the show. And I think it's only appropriate that we start with Anna Margaret.
Yes, because I'm the older one. Age before beauty.
You are. By thousands of years.
I know. I've come back to Miami a few times. Mm-hmm. So my name's Anna Margaret, and it always makes me laugh that I started yoga at a gym, because I have a little bit of a poo-poo attitude sometimes towards yoga in the gym. But that's where I was first exposed to it, on a physical, the physical yoga. And it's taken me from a gym in Philadelphia all the way to the shores of the Ganges in India. So I've been practicing now since 1996 or so. And I have to say, the first few years, I wasn't as taken with it, or it didn't hook me like I see, like, it hooks a lot of people right away. But once it did, there was no letting go. And really, it hooked me not just because of the physical form and the strength I found and the flexibility and all that good stuff, but really for keeping my mind and heart steady through some real challenges I was going through, family and losing family and moving back here and a lot of changes in my life. And my yoga class was my savior in a way. And since I kind of experienced that, then I just wanted to share it with a lot of people. And I was blessed to have great teachers like Rod Stryker and Manorma and Panditji Rajmani Digunait from the Himalayan Institute. And then to be able to share that with a lot of people has been a grace in my life. So that's a little bit of my journey.
And you identify with that tradition of the Himalayan Institute, right? So that's like your lineage or your heritage?
That's my lineage, and it's a tantric lineage from the Sri Vidya lineage, and it just goes back thousands of years. And just to see kind of the same teachings that you might read about in the old texts still being taught today has been really, really amazing. And not just being taught, but experiencing it. So that's, you know, that's what I always tell people. It's nice to read things, but and hear great stories about things that happen. But the real magic, it's when it manifests in your own life. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that, felt that over and over, even though it kicks your ass sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, there's always another side there to kind of support you through that. Mm-hmm. So that's the part I love.
Yeah. I should also mention that Anna Margaret is just an extraordinary yoga teacher. And yeah, for anyone in the Miami area, I would definitely recommend trying to connect with her. So on my side, I started doing yoga, practicing yoga.
You know, do it.
Yeah, practicing yoga. No, actually, I started doing it because I also started at a gym.
You too. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I had one of these teachers who was very good, but she had been trained essentially in one of those weekend certification programs.
Uh huh.
So there was the asana practice, the poses, but not much else.
Right.
But she had such a good spirit that there was something very positive about it, and mm-hmm. that really attracted me. And then just by chance, at that same gym, there was a very good teacher who had trained with, is it T.S. Little?
T.S. Little, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. He's very, you would love him. He's very specific, mm-hmm. and like every little, you know, he wants you to move every little muscle and tendon and ligament and just get the right alignment.
Well, and I could totally see that. This teacher, he still is a fantastic teacher. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is way up in South Bend, Indiana, where I had been teaching. I had been teaching at St. Mary's College. And so then, so this would have been, oh, I would say 2006, probably, mm-hmm. 2006, 2007. And I just loved asana practice immediately. But it's interesting because I remember going to this other teacher and saying, you know, I understand, because I had started reading a little, I understand that these postures are basically preparatory mm-hmm. for something that's broader and that's like meditation based. And do you know anywhere in town being South Bend, Indiana, which by the way is a great yoga town, but not necessarily a great meditation town? He just looked at me and said, no, I'm sorry, man. I don't know anything like that going around here. So, you know, I kept up with asana practice and I was getting more into it. And then I ended up moving down here. And I'm a communication professor by trade. And one of the things that really drew me to yoga more as I got down here is, well, actually, I should say my practice was interrupted for a couple of years. Not interrupted, but it degraded. And that is because although this is a huge city down here in Miami, and there are lots of teachers, apparently my path wasn't going to connect with many of these. So it was either a huge hassle to get to a good teacher, mm-hmm. or it just, you know, it just didn't click. It's like you said, just people come in and they don't click with your style or whatever. Yeah. And so I was fortunate probably about a year and a half ago to 2 years, I started taking classes with Anna Margaret, and then something real quick, and what do you know, Anna Margaret knows a little bit about meditation. So this has really rounded out my practice, and it's integrated it for me intellectually with other things that I've been interested in, because my background is in what's broadly called like critical theory, and so I've been interested in the theory of embodiment and mm-hmm. the phenomenology of experience and all of that stuff that I thought those were exclusively elements of the Western philosophical tradition. And what do I know?
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Although that's what your teachers will often claim. In fact, there's a tradition there that goes back literally thousands of years, and that's incredibly rich. And so, you know, for me, yoga has been a big wow experience and added a component to my life that had been missing in the somewhat, not exclusively, but pretty much intellectual traditions that I had been involved with. So that's part of this yoga and stuff concentration that we mm-hmm. help to pursue, which is all the various ways that yoga and other stuff, and that could be, you know, ways of thinking about the world, intellectual traditions, mystical traditions.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the intellectual, because there's four main paths of yoga that they call like the bird of yoga. Mm-hmm. And one of them, of course, is going to be meditation, which is the royal bird, Raja Yoga. Then we have for the intellectuals, Jnana Yoga. For the people that are a little bit more on the romantic side, I would say, and love the idea of devotion, then we've got Bhakti Yoga. And for those people that like to really serve humanity and volunteer, we've got Karma Yoga. And of course, at some point, being a good yogi, all those are going to intersect. It's not like we're exclusively right. one thing, because if it's just study, then it's kind of dry.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just selfless service, I mean, that's beautiful, but we also need other things to enrich us and support us. So it's really a mix of those. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that intrigued me a lot about yoga as well, is that it has so many branches. It's not just the meditation, or it's not just the asana,
right.
but there's a whole beautiful spirit of, you know, repeating a mantra of, you know, visualizing what the inside of your body might be like through chakras and through different
yes.
Different pathways that we call nadis that carry the prana and the energy. So, you know, it overlays, and in my tradition that's tantric, you know, tantra, one of the meanings is weaving. So it's like finding all these ways that yoga weaves into my life, and not, and as I say, not just on my mat, but how does it weave into my life on I-95 mm-hmm. or, you know, going for un cafecito in Midtown mm-hmm. and not finding parking.
Yes.
Right? I have to yes. practice a lot of yoga
right.
in situations that it doesn't seem like yoga would come in handy, but remembering to breathe, or just remembering like this isn't that important,
yeah.
You know, has been helpful living mm-hmm. in this thriving, exciting city.
Yeah. You know, one of the things also that has been just mind-blowing mm-hmm. is, and this may be in particular, I'm not going to say exclusively, well, first of all, I don't know, but I don't think it's exclusive, but there is a thorough mischaracterization of like Eastern philosophy in these mm-hmm. traditions as being like life-denying, mm-hmm. that it's an extreme asceticism and that you renounce the world, mm-hmm. withdraw from it, and then you have the caricatures of these emaciated ascetics who won't you know, engage with the real world in any way. And in particular, your tradition is so completely life-affirming
mm-hmm.
that it's something that it's just a very attractive, a very affirming dimension of the practice for me, and that's been a surprise.
Yeah, you know, at first, it's, you know, a lot of yogis, I find, we do have some issues around money and what that means and being comfortable in life. I mean, this was back in the day, not now, right, when I didn't know better. And I did think, like, we had, you know, I don't know, that it was just, as you're saying, like a very kind of dry discipline. And then the more I learned about it, and of course, you know, being blessed with great teachers, it's like, no, like, how do we enjoy the world and at the same time know that it's transitory, so accepting it for what that is,
yes.
You know, and even though at the end of, you know, at the end of the rainbow, there's non-dualism, in reality, what we have to live with every day is dualism, you know, so how do we, it both exists, and that's very confusing for people, and it's only through practice and patience and testing things out, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can see how both can coexist, and it has to, because there is a side of us that's unchanging, that's not transitory, but most of our, what we can see and touch and feel every day does feel transitory. So we have to go back over and over to that kind of sacred place that is changeless so that we can accept and work with what is always changing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes with time, and sometimes we fall off the yoga wagon, and then we, you know, we get back on. And I find that once a lot of the people have tasted yoga and some of the gifts that it brings, even if they fall off the wagon for a while, they always find a way to get back on. It
Absolutely.
Might be a change of teacher or
yeah.
venue, and they just need to hear in a different way.
And you just don't feel right after
yeah.
you, no, really.
Yeah.
It's like...
I laugh in affirmation.
Yeah. not there is.
Not at you, no.
All right.
Not this time.
Well, once again, this is Vicente and Anna Margaret, and we are in the middle of our new show, Yogami.
See?
A podcast about yoga and stuff. And we mean that seriously. And we'll be right back after some station IDs and a short break.
You're listening to 99.5 The Mix.
All right, and we're back with Yogami, a podcast about yoga and stuff. And so one of the things we wanted to do on this first show is, I guess, explore the topic of stuff, right? You're laughing at me.
What stuff are we going to do now?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Because you have a little list here, but I'm not sure if this is the stuff.
Well, let's see. We could sort of talk about this. Well, one of the things, I guess, we've already mentioned it, is that... Yoga in Miami takes all sorts of different forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, not just because it's a big city, but also because of the special character of Miami. It's, you know...
Because there's yoga and there's yoga.
Exactly.
Okay, hola.
Yes.
Hacen yoga.
And sí, cómo no. So you have yoga and pastelitos. You know,
oh,
you don't
yes.
know what that is. You're missing something, seriously. Yeah, if there's going to be trampoline yoga, they're going to invent it in Miami.
It's going to happen here.
It's
yes,
gonna,
it is.
There's going to be a cirque kind of thing, some connection. So one of the things that we're interested in, or that's interesting about yoga, is how rapidly it's changing, how many mm-hmm. different kinds of things are happening, how many different traditions are coming together, the kind of innovations there are going on, this... intersection, which is really just a few decades old, really, not more than 100, well, maybe a little bit more than 100 years ago, depending where you draw the line, but this dialogue between yoga, in particular asana practice or pose mm-hmm. practice, and the West, and what the West contributed to that in terms of like calisthenics and so forth, which often isn't recognized, but
mm-hmm.
also how that was completely transformed and absorbed and turned into something new and powerful. So I don't know, there's all sorts of different kinds of directions that we can follow in terms of what are the kind of influences that we're seeing on yoga that we might talk about in individual shows. We could focus on any number of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like one of the things now that's very hot is this idea of, I mean, by hot, well, actually, hot yoga is very
hot. Yoga is hot in Miami.
Yes. In fact, isn't there, there's at least one studio, which is just all hot yoga, right?
Yeah, there's a few. And people, you know, Miami, it's like if we're not sweating, we're not alive.
Yeah, and you think it was hot enough, you know, but they need it hotter.
Me gusta el calor.
That's right. But one of the things that's certainly controversial is, well, this issue of what is yoga, what is actual yoga, and you were already talking about this a little bit, right? That it's much broader than the poses.
One of the things, you know, first, I guess we should talk about one of the meanings of yoga, which means union, right? So we're bringing two things together. But what I always try and tell my students, and I've probably bored you to tears, you hearing the same thing, but in the beginning, yoga is really about disunion, you know, disidentifying with our ideas and our stories and starting to understand ourselves in a much broader package than just I'm just a body or I'm just all my mental afflictions and habits and all that stuff. But to understand what we are, we have to understand all the things we're not. So it's in a way we kind of, you know, compartmentalize ourselves through our practice, like through contemplation and through breath work and through asana and, you know, getting past our limitations, even understanding what our limitations are, looking at our, you know, everybody likes to talk about their light and all that stuff, but Panaji, my grandfather guru, he always talks about sometimes we know ourselves more through our shadows because that's also something that we're not comfortable necessarily. We don't like the yucky stuff.
Sure.
So we hide away from it a lot. Mm-hmm. And through our practice, and the right practice, I should say, we get to kind of shed some light on these shadows, and then they're no longer shadows. Mm-hmm. And then that gives us more courage and confidence. Okay, well, what's the next thing? And, you know, we move on from there. But the West, you know, we like hot, sexy things, right? Yeah. So we took this wonderful branch of yoga, which it's the body is definitely important because it carries our soul through here and it carries our mind and whatever else you believe in through this lifetime. And we took this one component and just like ran with it and, you know, opened yoga studios in every corner and do these weekend, you know, yoga work, yoga trainings and stuff. And you know, now I'm not so snobby because I'm just happy that people come to yoga in any way. But I definitely like to encourage my students to understand not just its history, but all the things that, even if they don't know the history, understand all the different dimensions that it can offer them to have a better life. But so I have these senior students. She's just turning 80, and he's 89. Okay, and they've been my students for the last 4 years, and when I get to the house, she yells at him, "Your teacher is here!" And then we run into the room, and, you know, they made a little yoga room in their house. But they were just at Ocean Reef at a wedding this weekend, and in the room were yoga mats. And in every room, people had yoga mats. And I'm like, oh my God, like how far we've come.
Yes.
That, you know, people were doing it on grass and you know, blankets or whatever. And here in hotels now, there's like a yoga mat waiting for you. And wow. CVS, they've got blocks or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And in a way, we've reintroduced some aspects of yoga back to India, you know, and brought that interest. And when I went to study with TKV Jessica Char at his ashram, there were people from all over the world, from Scotland, from Amsterdam, from India itself. I mean, just, it was like a Benetton of like yogis. It was amazing. And, you know, like they appreciate how much we appreciate it as well. That's what I found, that they were just so happy to share this knowledge that they kind of grew up with and took for granted. And that they practice just as, especially the asana was just like, oh, just enough to get me to sit down.
Yes.
You know, but here we are with our beautiful, you know, people with their like super yoga, ashtanga, beautiful arms and legs and floating through and jumping and doing all this amazing feats. So that's been fun to watch the evolution.
You know, when you talk about yoga opening you up and being being more reflective and even recognizing the shadow and all of that, I think the compliment to what you're talking about in the West is that there are forms of yoga, in some ways some of the more popular ones in terms of probably numbers, which is the kind of yoga that you might find in a gym, particularly mm-hmm. the large corporate gyms, or even the kind of yogas that might be encouraged in some workplaces and so forth, that are designed, that don't necessarily do that well at all, that are so focused on the body, mm-hmm. right? This is what's sometimes called the corporatization of yoga. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that as a development?
You know, again, I'm trying not to be snobby about it, mm-hmm. and if that's the way that you're going to get yoga, I mean, corporations are also, that's a whole beast unto itself,
yeah.
but if you can get yoga in there somehow,
exactly.
it's going to be a benefit, especially if you have someone at least that's moving you and your breath together
mm-hmm.
and making you aware of just that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in so many situations where I might not be able to strike a yoga pose, mm-hmm. but I needed my breath, you know,
yeah.
to stay calm or to stay focused or
sure.
whatever. And that's one thing that hopefully, mm-hmm. even in a corporate setting, they'd be able to learn to do.
Yeah. And, you know, with something like that, it's as with anything, it's sort of like the human being inside of themselves is an alchemy continually going on. So you never mm-hmm. know what's going to come out of. A class could be the narrowest class in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you never know where that's going to lead people also.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's always a surprise. you know, sometimes as a teacher, too, you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, in the middle of class, you're like, oh, I hope this is going well. Or you feel disconnected somehow. And then somebody can come up to you after class and be like, you don't know how much I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something to think about, too, is how yoga is not just a philosophy, but it's also a science.
Mm-hmm.
So depending how we sequence a class and what poses follow what and what
yeah.
breath that we're using in the poses and even what meditation or visualization, we can create a whole different, as you said, alchemy
mm-hmm.
in the body.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what people respond to. It's not just because you have the best kick-ass Warrior One, which you might have, but it's the energy that's been transformed through that Warrior One that feels different when you leave class,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I, so far, as far as I know, no one's ever left my class like in a worse mood that they came in. But hey, there's time. We'll see. That could still happen.
I'm sitting here trying to think.
Okay, just pretend.
There was that one time. No, just kidding.
Just pretend what I just said was true, please.
Yes.
Okay.
It absolutely is. Actually, you said something early on when I had first known you. You didn't say it to me. You said it to a class, which has gotten me to several classes, which is, you asked, have you ever been sorry when you've made it to a class?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been sorry afterwards? And unequivocally, the answer is no. If you can make it to class, I've always come out the other side just in a much better place.
I'm going to get a yoga jitney. I'm going to start that. Hey.
Oh, my God.
That would be cute.
Yes, that would be okay. cute. I can see the dollars
radiating.
Yes. Oh, well, now you've taken me to another level. We need
Uh-oh.
One of those double-decker buses.
Here we go.
So
of
the
course.
Tourists are doing yoga while we're touring them through, like, Little Havana and South
we'll
Beach.
Have the yoga belts to just keep
yeah.
them from falling over.
Right. Here comes a left turn. All right. You know, another thing, I don't know, it's probably on topic in some way or another. It's probably something we'll cover at some point, but one of the changes or one of the points of intersection, I think, between East and West is
mm-hmm.
the status of the guru, don't you think, in yoga?
Yeah, we don't like gurus here.
Yes, we don't.
Or we either like them or we just give off everything without really considering and, like, with discretion.
Yes.
You know, it's like our extremes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess, do you want me to say something?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm just, that got me to thinking, and so I'm left here speechless momentarily, but I'll come back. I'm just thinking of this documentary I saw on CNN, and it was about this one guru from, I think, in the late 70s, early 80s, and he would walk around in very short gym shorts, and his whole crew were like California gym type people,
uh-huh.
and, you know, he would take them out into the woods and he would touch their foreheads and they'd see stuff, you know.
Oh, Shakti pot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and after a while it turned out, you know, the guru was having sex with her.
That's such a surprise.
Yes, exactly.
So I have talked to you about gurus, though. So just if anybody is looking for a guru, okay, the thing to look for is a guru that makes you independent.
Yes.
And I cannot say that enough. Any guru, okay, that makes you dependent and says you can only find yourself or God or the divine or the freaking, you know, magic tree through them is someone to avoid.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, you know, gurus, right? So let's also, we can just define that quickly. Guru means the one that removes the darkness, the Ru that removes your goo. That's how one of my teachers describes it. So we want someone that's going to bring us, you know, or help us find our own inner light and inner power. And, you know, I've thought about often because, you know, my main teacher, my guru, is male. And what if he, you know, what if something happened with that? Because things happen and people mess up, you know, in different ways. But the teachings would survive no matter what. And that's what I also understood is I had enough of a practice to know that it was the teachings and not the teacher that was the magic.
Yes.
You know, my teacher just has a very wonderful way of explaining and helping us to experience this, but it's the teachings that stand alone. But again, you know, you should have some kind of, you should look at the teacher from all, you know, from all sides, just like we look at a pose, you know, from the front, from the back, from the sides, and like, who is this person? How do they live their life? What kind of community do they bring around them?
Absolutely. And I think that's been, again, one of the most striking features as I've gotten deeper into yoga, that a kind of Western stereotype of the guru is maybe someone who's an autocrat or who keeps knowledge secret to make you dependent. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're saying, you know, to my experience in my readings, I mean, since I don't have a teacher like that, in my readings, you see that all of the readings are laced with this kind of anti-authoritarian dimension. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a short break just for a station ID, and we'll be right back.
Yogami.
I was going to use that tag no matter what.
I love it.
I made it, and we're going to use it.
You should.
We'll hear it again. Okay, so we're back for just a few more minutes. Once again, this is Vicente and
Anna Margaret.
And you're listening to Yogami, a podcast about yoga and stuff. And we've been talking about the stuff, some of the stuff. And that's a taste of the kinds of things we'll be doing in the coming weeks and months, we hope.
Yes, and we'll be having guests as well and a whole range of topics. And if there's anything that you guys want to listen to, then you'll find us and we'll try to incorporate that into our show.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this. This is a great project, and I'm happy to be working with you.
Me too. This is awesome.
So as we build up a massive audience, I'll create, once we have a couple episodes under our belt, I'll create a podcast platform where these episodes can be retrieved, and hopefully we can start working more closely with the community and have tie-ins. And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, let people know what's going on around town and those kinds of things.
Yeah, we'll explore all those little people inside of ourselves also, so you might just hear different voices or accents every once in a while, so
yes.
Don't worry, it's still us.
The many us's. Okay, so thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll be back in something like 3 or 4 weeks. We'll decide soon enough. But we will be back.
You're listening to the hottest college radio station out right now on 99.5 The Mix.